Congress hears another day of public impeachment testimony. This time, Democrats are laying out the case for President Trump's impeachment, trying to show that Trump led a pressure campaign in Ukraine that would benefit President Trump's re-election campaign. Here's House Judiciary Chairman Gerald Nadler framing the arguments against the president.
On July 25th, President Trump called President Zelensky of Ukraine and asked him for a favor. That call was part of a concerted effort by President Trump to compel the government of Ukraine to announce an investigation, not an investigation of corruption writ large, but an investigation of President Trump's political rivals, and only his political rivals.
Republicans, meanwhile, have attacked the substance and the process of the impeachment inquiry. Here's Republican ranking member Doug Collins.
You know, there have been famous moments in impeachment. There have been famous moments in impeachment as we've gone forward. There are famous lines from Nixon, like, what did the president know and when did he know it? From the Clinton impeachment, there was, I did not have sex with that woman. What would be known about this one is probably, where's the impeachable offense?
Joining us now is NPR congressional reporter Claudia Grisales. And Claudia, explain what's happening today in the House Judiciary Committee and why.
Yes, lawmakers are laying down the groundwork for articles of impeachment, and it's more of an extended highlights reel of all the findings from the House Intelligence Committee as they investigated these claims of a pressure campaign led by the president to extract a probe from Ukraine of his political rival. It started with lawyers for the Judiciary Committee presenting their arguments for and against impeachment, and followed by lawyers for the House Intelligence Committee presenting their findings during the formal probe looking into President Trump.
Yeah, a highlights reel is a good way to put it. Democrats today have continued to quote the famous July 25th phone call between President Trump and Ukrainian President Zelensky, but they've also dedicated a lot of time to building out the details of a wider pressure campaign around the call. Here's Democratic counsel Daniel Goldman.
It's very important to understand that this investigation revealed that the July 25th call was neither the start nor the end of President Trump's efforts to use the powers of his office for personal political gain. And you have to look at all of the evidence in context as a whole.
As you mentioned, which I just like this point, calling it a highlights reel, what are the major points Democrats have been hitting on?
Yes, they are saying what they uncovered is part of a larger pattern of the president taking risks and abusing the power of his office to accept foreign assistance to interfere in our elections. They're highlighting witness testimony showing they can corroborate the central whistleblower complaint, alerting lawmakers to this July 25th call. And Democrats say the evidence clearly shows the president was pressuring Ukraine to interfere in the 2020 elections on his behalf, and it shows the strongest possible case for impeachment. They're also saying that the president put himself before country. This is something they've repeated several times throughout the hearing, and that he broke his oath of office. And this pattern presents an ongoing risk to the country.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the Republicans. Here's counsel Stephen Castor, one of the common defenses of the GOP he talks about.
President Zelensky has said he felt no pressure on the call. On September 25th at the United Nations, he said, we had, I think, a good phone call. It was normal. Nobody pushed me.
What else are Republicans saying in defense of the president?
They are going line by line trying to attack the possible articles of impeachment. We've received some hints from Democrats what these articles could look like, such as bribery and obstruction tied to this Ukraine investigation. And Republicans are attempting to knock down the evidence related to these potential charges. For example, saying there was no obstruction. They're pointing to witnesses and saying they were providing secondhand information, or they were making assumptions that led to them saying that the president obstructed or the investigation from Congress, or that there was bribery involved when he was having these discussions with the leader of Ukraine.
Yeah, the president has also refused to have lawyers in the room. This morning he tweeted, among other things, read the transcripts, witch hunt, and the best economy ever. What does his absence from the hearing room mean for this process?
So this means that lawmakers don't have to consider his defense as a formal part of this inquiry, and that defense can't be included in the record as they develop these potential articles of impeachment. And it also means a part of the process is sped up. If the president had presented a defense, it would extend the time of this inquiry, perhaps add an additional hearing or more, and other evidence that would need to be considered before they reached this decision of potentially drawing up articles of impeachment.
Yeah, the president's not there, but Republicans keep trying to stymie the procedures. We've seen that all throughout the hearings, and they're pushing for their own day of hearings from their own witnesses. Here is one particularly testy exchange between Gerald Nadler and Republicans.
We will now hear presentations of evidence.
I have a parliamentary inquiry.
I haven't removed my objection yet.
I will not recognize a parliamentary inquiry at this time. We will now hear presentations of evidence from counsel to the judiciary.
Is this when we just hear staff ask questions of other staff and the members get dealt out of this whole hearing? And for the next 4 hours, you're going to try to overturn the result of an election with unelected people giving testimony?
Gentlemen will suspend.
Okay, the last voices we hear are Nadler and Republican Matt Gaetz. Can you explain for us what these procedural arguments have been about?
So Matt Gaetz, among others, they have been arguing that the procedures as they are ongoing with these hearings and this investigation are unfair to the president and not allowing them to present a defense. Matt Gaetz, in particular, is raising the argument that lawyers are there today, making all the arguments. They're questioning each other. And he does have a point. Basically, today, the chair and the ranking member have chosen to have their lawyers represent their sides of the cases. So that includes Republicans as well. It's not just Democrats using their lawyers.
Right.
And so that's part of the point that Matt Gaetz and others are leading is they're trying to poke holes in this process in today's hearing, seeing that it is unfair. They're rushing through it and it's not the right structure for them. And they're also asking for this minority day of hearing, which would be a hearing of Republican witnesses. They've made a request for that. And Chairman Nadler has said that it's under consideration, but he hasn't given a final answer. So they're expressing frustration there as well, that their side of the story is not getting told as much as they would like it to be.
Okay, so Nadler has said it's under consideration to have that additional hearing with those witnesses. Can we talk a little bit about the interruptions? Because I'm just thinking about the public at large watching this and trying to make sense of it. They're not totally out of the ordinary, right? Democrats use them during the hearings to confirm Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Exactly. Yes, this is a very common strategy that Republicans have used, especially in this process, to try and slow down the hearing, try and muddy the waters, make the Democrats' argument that much less clear, harder to follow. If they're able to accomplish that, they feel that they're accomplishing their goals, which is to throw viewers and listeners off track from paying attention to the hearing and paying attention to these arguments by Democrats that they uncovered this evidence that they say proves that the president abused the power of his office.
Yeah. I want to ask you about Democratic counsel Barry Berke. He's a new figure on this public impeachment stage, and he's a pretty forceful voice. Here he is speaking.
This is a big deal. President Trump did what a president of our nation is not allowed to do. It is why last week the constitutional scholar Professor Michael Gerhardt said, if what we're talking about is not impeachable, then nothing is impeachable.
Claudia, what can you tell us about him?
So Barry Berke is with a New York area law firm. He is on leave from that firm at this time, serving as an advisor, a counselor for the Judiciary Committee. So he's nationally known as a trial lawyer and recognized as a top lawyer on white collar criminal issues. And in this case, they have put Barry Berke kind of at the center of this hearing to not only lead some of the arguments, but now he is questioning one of the other attorneys for the Republicans on their arguments. It has proven to bring some very testy moments to today's hearing.
Yeah. I also want to ask you about broadening this out, these impeachment articles. Some Democrats have pushed to keep them narrowly focused on Ukraine, while others want to zoom out and look at the Mueller report, too. Gerald Nadler was connecting the dots between the Ukraine issue and the Russian interference in the 2016 election and the 2020 election. I want to ask you, do you think that Nadler or the other Democrats showed their hand on the articles of impeachment that they might bring against President Trump?
Yes, definitely. We've received hints throughout this process, especially as the House Intelligence Committee was wrapping up its probe. Chairman Adam Schiff hinted that they were looking at bribery as well as obstruction of Congress related to this Ukraine investigation. We've seen Chairman Nadler also hint at these articles of bribery and obstruction of Congress. But as you said, the question facing them now is how broad or narrow to keep these articles of impeachment. If they did broaden them, that would bring in the findings from the Mueller investigation. So that would be an article such as obstruction of justice. But that is a struggle facing Democrats now, whether they want to keep that broad or keep it narrow at this time.
That's NPR congressional reporter Claudia Grisales. Claudia, as always, thank you.
Thanks for having me.